Let's begin.
This is the Boss.
I'm the Boss.
And the Gloss.
My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On SB Nation Radio.
And SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are your hosts, David Gao and Carla Dawson. I got that.
Welcome in, everybody. It is great to be sitting next to the Monday Night Delight again. Carla, how are you?
Ooh, nerves are going. Nerves are going.
She's nerves
Big
are going.
AFC divisional rivalry tonight against my boys.
Big Yikes. Matchup. It's a great night with
great night.
Little Monday Night Football, a doubleheader. We got the Texans facing the Saints in New Orleans. Texans leading 7-3. Deshaun Watson, though, got banged up. It looks like he'll be back. But he really took a hard fall on his touchdown run.
What a hero. What a star.
He is a tough player. Last year, sacked 64 times, survived the season. This year, he's not going to get sacked because they've fortified the offensive line, right?
Hopefully, he'll get a case of tonsillitis. We've got Laramie blocking for this guy now. So
understood.
Let's see what we do.
And then, of course, the second matchup of the night, your beloved Raiders hosting the Denver Broncos. A really interesting matchup in the AFC West.
Oh, it's a serious rivalry. They really hate each other.
And we got the mighty Jose behind the glass. Jose, you ready to fire it up tonight?
I'm ready to go. I'm a little nervous for Carla.
Yes,
it's y'all hard. Should be.
Well,
it's
closer
not a good
to the dumb
me.
Button than usual.
Yes, week, please don't let her get profane tonight.
Oh boy, I've tried to simmer down since Saturday. I have got my AB burns all over me, and I'm not liking it, but we're going to move on. We are going to move on.
Well, for those who don't know, Carla Dawson is the Princess of Darkness, the largest, the most avid Raiders fan in the country, and you've had a really tough week with Antonio Brown and all the distractions that have come with that. Raiders starting this season, as they did last season, with a guy they really thought was going to be a key part of their team. Last year, Khalil Mack. This year, Antonio Brown. And Brown is gone, a patriot of all things. When we come back, we're going to get a chance to unpack that. We'll unpack how did it go down? Where was Carla? It happened under your watch as a Raiders fan. And are Gruden and Mayock on the same page? We'll see. When we return, we'll look at Antonio Brown and all things NFL on a doubleheader Monday night. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to The Main Event on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we've got a Monday night doubleheader. And we have a man on the ground in New Orleans, Scott Harrison. We're going to go to him and get an update from New Orleans on the Texans-Saints matchup.
Well, so far, it has been a good night for the rushing attack of the Houston Texans. As a matter of fact, the only touchdown of the night came on the ground. It was Deshaun Watson. He did not rush the ball, the Texans quarterback, until there was just about 14 minutes remaining in the second quarter. But he made the most of his rush. 21-yard run for a touchdown, and that put his team up. Meanwhile, we see Duke Johnson, one of the new running backs for the Texans. He has 3 carries for 13 yards. Meanwhile, Carlos Hyde, he has rushed for over 40 yards in this game. As far as passing tonight, Deshaun Watson, he has completed 9 of 15 passes for 109 yards. And by the way, the touchdown for the Texans was set up by an interception. Drew Brees, he is intercepted inside the 10-yard line. And it is Whitney Merciless with the interception. And he gets it at the 4, moves it to the 6. Then it is a 94-yard drive for the Texans for the score. So far, Brees tonight, he is 12 of 17 for 123 yards and 1 interception. Favorite receiver, who else? Michael Thomas, 4 catches for 58 yards. New Saint, Jared Cook, he has 2 catches for 38 yards. And the only score for the Saints, came on a 32-yard field goal for Will Lutz. Now, the Texans are driving again as they have the ball inside the red zone, and we have 3:37 remaining here in the first half. And right now, it is the Houston Texans at the Superdome in New Orleans over the Saints, 7-3. Back to you.
That's Scott Harrison, our reporter on the ground in New Orleans. Okay, the Raiders will line up against the Broncos later. Antonio Brown will not be with the team. You are a longstanding Raiders fan. Let me ask you, when you look back at this, is there something the Raiders should have done differently? A divorce has happened. There's been a separation between Antonio Brown and the Raiders. As a Raiders fan, you look back and say, I wish we would have done this differently.
No, I don't. I think this is what this comes down to, is the ultimate act of selfishness by Antonio Brown. And I've been an Antonio Brown apologist, as you and Jose have had to.
We've called you out a little bit for it.
Yes, you have. And I have defended him to all kinds of people, and just, you know, through the cryotherapy issue with his feet, through the helmet issue with the NFL, through the two grievances to which he lost, to not showing up for a walkthrough in a preseason game. I have defended him to the hilt. And you know what it comes down to? It's all about AB and his brand. His brand. He doesn't care about a team at all. It's about himself. And that is ultimately what led to this. And his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, who I also think is brilliant. And yes, he talks like an agent. He said today, I watched the interview live. It all started with the helmet issue. And it was just unsalvageable from there, his relationship with the Raiders. That has nothing to do with the Raiders. And there are over 2,500 players in the NFL at that point before cuts. And nobody else had an issue with the helmet. And the Raiders put up with the helmet issue, two grievances, and AB not showing up at all, basically. I am virtually speechless, and I'm trying really hard to keep it G-rated. And I don't even know what to say.
Jose, this is when you need to have the button ready to beep her, beep. But when she starts talking about Antonio Brown, I think you're right. Enough is enough. Raiders are in a better spot this week than they were last week. He was a huge distraction. There is a narrative, well, if Mike Mayock had not issued those fines, that Antonio wouldn't have created such a stink and he would still be on the Raiders team right now. But I think it was just a time bomb. It would have exploded later. This is a matter of when, not if. This is a history in his background. I just don't think that the Raiders could depend upon him, and I think they're better off for not having him on the team.
No, and I think I didn't like Mike Mayock finding him either. Like, you know, he's an all-star. He's, you know, 11th year in the league. And now I'm changing my tune a little bit, and I regret saying that he shouldn't have fined him, because you look at this, and what are the Raiders trying to do? They've got a new stadium, a new city, a new coach. You know, they're playing their last year in Oakland. They're trying to establish a culture here in Oakland, a winning culture. And they believe with Gruden, with Mayock, that they have got what they need to build this culture. Well, do you really want, when you think about it, do you really want Antonio Brown to be the foundation of your culture when you've got 89 guys in a training camp that are working their tail off in the heat of Napa, trying to make it on an NFL team, and you have one guy that, even when he's there, he's with his own trainer on the side. His feet are all over Instagram. His helmet issues all over Instagram. I think in the long term, the Raiders are going to be better for building a culture around good guys who want to be there. But this stings. And what I would say is that the Antonio Brown tree had a real extensive root system, because it didn't just affect John Gruden. It affected the whole Raiders organization, the offensive scheme that was built around him as their number one, Derek Carr's success, depending on a lot on Antonio Brown, the front office, the coaches, the Davis family, who the fan base. This is so far reaching. He is acting, Antonio Brown is acting like he's an NBA player that can create your own brand. And you can do that in the NBA and not be a team player. We've seen it. I'm not going to mention people. You cannot do that in the NFL. It's about the team.
Fair enough. I agree. It does strike me. I mean, there's a look ahead. How will he fit in with the Patriots, which is a fascinating question looking ahead. But one last look back at what happened with the Raiders. The recording of the phone conversation with John Gruden without Gruden's permission is an illegal act. I'm Roger Goodell.
California, for sure.
Yes. So it's an illegal act that's been committed, and there's no mystery about whether he did it. So now here's the NFL, and this is conduct unbecoming, surely. Why wouldn't Roger Goodell suspend him for some games as a Patriot? Why would that behavior be acceptable? I think it is, well, it's under the auspices of the Shield. It is an act that sets an awful precedent. If he can get away with it, imagine the conversations between coaches and players all the time that might be rough around the edges, that might even get a little profane, that might even get a little awkward. Those conversations, if they're now allowed to be recorded and then published, that's a huge precedent for the NFL. And I think Goodell's got to issue some kind of punishment. He suspended people for lighter events.
Oh, absolutely. And you look at Antonio Brown with Pittsburgh. Do you remember when they beat, I can't remember who they beat, but Mike Tomlin was giving the locker room speech. They were about to take on the Patriots for the next week. It was a playoff game. And he made a disparaging comment about the Patriots, which is okay to do when you are the head coach trying to fire up a locker room. And Antonio Brown videotaped it, remember, and posted it on Facebook Live or something or other. He's going to continue to do things like this. And it is, you're right, it is 100% detrimental to the Shield, which Roger Goodell is there to protect. That's his job. This is a really bad look. And I want to be clear for all the people who want to beat on John Gruden and say, he can't coach, it's this and that. Drew Rosenhaus, quote, John Gruden has been magnificent. He did everything he could to salvage this. Take it off John Gruden's back. This is all about AB and what he wants.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Greg Townsend. He is a former defensive end for the Raiders.
Let's get some truth serum.
Well, he's there, and we can get his view of, well, are the Raiders ready to play tonight? And we'll have to hear it from Greg Townsend when we return here on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people you can trust. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Joining us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line is former Raiders defensive end Greg Townsend. He's got a Super Bowl ring with Super Bowl 18. Greg, thanks so much for joining us. You're on with David and Carla.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. How you guys doing?
Well, we're doing great. And boy, it is great to have you on tonight. Obviously, the Raiders planning to play the Broncos. And I guess they come into this game with a fairly tumultuous week. So we'd love to get your thoughts on Antonio Brown. How does he affect the Raiders coming into tonight's game?
You know, and that's one of the biggest things I know. I'm only going to speak, Dave, back from when I was playing. I can't speak to these players, what they might be susceptible to. I just know when you have situations like this that goes on a football team, you have to use all your focus and your concentration to block out all that, the extractions that's coming, because you got more on the line with the guys that are there. And so somebody has to be talking that to the other players. Don't let the outside distraction get to you. Antonio would have been a great teammate, but he's not here now. He don't work for us no more. So we have to move forward from here. And that's how you guys approach that.
Greg, I've got to ask you, you played under the great Al Davis, you know, God bless, rest his soul. WWAD, yes. What would Al do with this situation? And how do you liken it to how Gruden and Mayock have handled the Antonio Brown circus?
That's really interesting, because, you know, you would think, you know, for one, I don't think Al would have fined him. For one, that's just me saying that, because Al did never find anybody. He just wanted you to win, baby, and that was just it for as he was concerned. You could even play your way out of a fine, even if they ever gave you one. You can play your way out of that one. He'll reimburse you on. So that's how I think Al would have done it. First of all, so I think it wouldn't have never came to the point of AB ever saying he was going to threaten to hit somebody. Like Al Davis, because it would have never even came to that, in my opinion. So that's how I feel that Al would have handled that one.
We're talking to former Raiders defensive end Greg Townsend. Okay, so John Gruden seemed to be working. In fact, last week I called John Gruden good cop and Mayock bad cop. Mayock saying, well, Brown needs to be all in. Gruden was seemingly working more with Brown to keep him in the fold. Do you think that Mayock and Gruden are on the same page now about Antonio Brown?
I think so. I think so, because like I said earlier in the conversation, you have to move on from this, because there's bigger eggs in this. There's bigger eggs to fry. And, you know, the Raiders coming off the season they came off of last year, they have to show the fans that they're about winning and winning only.
It's so true, Greg. So realistically, let's forget about AB since he is no longer a Raider. He is not welcome in the nation.
Let's move on.
Yeah,
don't...
let us move on.
Well, I mean, anybody's always welcome back. We just know we got to move on from here. I mean, we can't count anybody out that can possibly help our football team.
Very true. And what do you realistically expect? What are, as a Princess of Darkness, what should I realistically expect from the Raiders this season in a rebuilding year?
Well, I mean, let me tell you what you might expect in this game. I can't really speak on the whole season, one night at a time.
I'll take tonight. What you got?
Tonight I expect for our offense to be further along than our defense tonight. So I expect for it to score a lot of points. And they might score on us because I don't think our defense has jived or gelled or even got into a sync yet. So I think with that part said, that our offense is going to have to outscore their offense, and our defense is going to have to come around sooner than later. But I did see a flash of us blitzing in the preseason, and that looked promising. So if we're going to do anything, we're going to have to bring some blitzes.
And Greg, your feelings on Derek Carr as A, a leader in the locker room, and B, as your franchise QB?
Okay. Now, you know you're talking old school here, Carla. So,
you're not that old. You're young school.
Yeah, I'm old school to know this. Jim Plunkett would never be my leader. You know, I'm not saying that to downgrade Jim Plunkett, but Jim Plunkett can never be my leader. That guy wear a red shirt on the field.
Well, yes.
He wear a red shirt on the field. He's protected. He's babied. He's everything like that. So a guy like that could never lead my football team. It takes a guy from our offensive line or defensive line to lead our team, period. It's just that stuff just never fly with me. Now, the other part about Derek Carr, and I'm going to get frank with you on this one. I always hear Derek Carr talk about how much he studies and watch film and all this stuff. Well, it don't compute on the field, was what I'm saying. It don't say that on the field. On the field, it says you probably watch much film as Greg Townsend did when he played. Now it was none. You see what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
So you watching film is not the way to go win games. You just got to go out there and play and compete, and out-compete somebody and let them know that you're here to play this game and to play it better than they are. And that's the only way. So when I hear him say that stuff in the media about how much film he watch and all that stuff, I just really want to just put my finger down my mouth. You know what I mean?
No, don't do that to yourself. We'll talk to Derek. We want you
know,
safe,
said,
Greg.
Look, I said won't to. I'm not going to. Because I know it don't take film to win games. It takes you willing to go out there and compete, simply as that.
We're talking to former defensive end Greg Townsend, a Raider legend. So the Raiders had 3 first-round draft picks, 3 rookies, whom they're hoping to get a big contribution from this year. Any one of them stand out to you? Are you feeling good about the rookies?
Only Jacoby right now. Jacoby Jacobs, I'm feeling pretty good about him. I saw him kind of getting the game. I'm probably just thinking to myself, too, he knew he was going to be in there for a certain amount of snaps, so he just knew he had to run hard when I saw him. But I saw that he do have that in him. So we can get that most out of him. I like that. The kid from Clemson, I think he needs some more seasoning. He needs to get more seasoned. I'll tell you my whole big thing, Carla and Dave, my big thing is, what would Al do? Al wouldn't have a bunch of guys on that staff who didn't play this game.
Hmm.
That's what Al wouldn't do. He wouldn't have a bunch of guys on that staff that didn't play this game at this level. Because what are you teaching them?
Yeah, you weren't in the trenches. You weren't in the trenches.
I mean, when I played, we had Art Shell, Willie Brown, Fred Biletnikoff, Terrell Biskey, Earl Leggett, Charlie Sumner. Like, all those guys played at that level, and they played well. And so, for me, I see basketball and baseball, all those guys as coaching played on that level. What is football thinking about?
I mean, the way you describe it, it almost sounds like some teachers have come into the room who are good on the chalkboard, good with the film, but have never really tasted
it. And really good with the media, too. Really good.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's right. They come from the media, too. I'm sorry.
Well, that is pretty crazy when you think about it. I mean, you look at John Lynch over across the bay in San Francisco. Now you've got Mike Mayock and John Gruden. I mean, John Gruden has coached.
But even these guys, you know, and all due respect to John Lynch and John Elway, the guys at general manager spot, they are fine guys who never played the game at this level. I am flabbergasted. And it ain't like guys don't want the job. It ain't like guys don't want the job. Guys are just being told crazy, stupid things when they get in these interviews.
We're talking to Greg Townsend, Raider legend, former defensive end, Super Bowl champion. Let me ask you, would you be interested in coaching?
Look, I'm coaching. I have to do it on my own because that's how much I love to coach. I mean, yeah. I know this guy. I've been around this game for almost 27 years as a player. And I had to just leave it alone because nobody wants to hire a pass rushing specialist coach. What's this game done evolved to?
Well,
who knows pass rushing better than me?
Yeah, that's exactly true because you had a career 110 career sacks and you're 16th on NFL's all-time list for career sacks. How would you, Greg, tell players to adjust? How would you adjust to today's passing game where you have these mobile quarterbacks like the Lamar Millers and the Kyler Murrays and the Russell Wilsons of the world? How would you change your game, or would you?
As an individual, I see that they have more agile scrambling guys that who can run like Watson and the kid over there, Lamar Jackson, and people like even the kid over there at Cleveland,
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, these guys can move around in the pocket and move it around. Now, when I played, they only had a few guys like Joe Montana and Steve Young who could move around the pocket. So you could force them one way or another, force them to their weak hand or go ahead and let them run to their strong side and just expect for them to be there. Or just run them down, period. But nowadays, you have to be kind of savvy with these guys and just know that, there's too much zone out there. So these guys always got a receiver to throw to, for one. And I love man-to-man. Give me some man-to-man bump and run, and then we can pass rush. But pass rush don't mean nothing when you're playing zone. It just don't mean anything, but just get your hands up into the passing lanes. That's the best you can do at that point. So that's how I would approach it now if I was playing today. But I know I have more than 110 sacks, that's for sure.
Looking at today's NFL defensive ends, who impresses you most as a pass rusher?
Oh, you know that kid over there, the Chargers, named Joey Bosa?
Yes.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Him and Ingram, they really do. They really impress me big time. I like them. And, of course, that kid over there with the Rams, that Aaron Donald, he plays with such leverage. He plays with such leverage because he's not a big guy. And he goes against these big guys with all this leverage. And it's phenomenal to watch. It is. It really is. And I'm wondering why. Oh, I know why. They don't even know Aaron playing with leverage, some of these coaches. They just think Aaron just, you know, I don't know what they're thinking about with Aaron doing. But if you knew football, you would know how the kid is playing. And that's how we want all the kids to play. The D-line spot is always with leverage. You got to get up under people, period.
Awesome stuff. That's Greg Townsend. Greg, thanks you so much for joining us here on SB Nation Radio.
Carla and David, thank you guys, and call me anytime. I love talking football with you guys.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it is a Monday night doubleheader. Texans in New Orleans. We've got a man on the ground, Scott Harrison. Let's hear from Scott.
All right, thank you, David. Well, the Texans are leading at halftime, and one of the keys was a long, time-consuming drive in the second quarter. As a matter of fact, it started with 9:22 remaining on the clock and didn't end until a touchdown was scored by DeAndre Hopkins with 1:47 remaining in the half. That drive, 16 plays, went 75 yards, took 7:35 off the clock over half the quarter. And we see Hopkins, he got a 2-yard touchdown pass. That was from Deshaun Watson. So far today, Hopkins, he has a total of 36 yards in receptions and, of course, that touchdown. Now, Watson passing the ball today, he has completed 12 of 17 passes for 129 yards and that score. Also, he has rushed today 21 yards for a score. So, Watson, he has been responsible in both of the touchdowns for the Texans. His rushing totals, by the way, are 3 carries for 22 yards and that touchdown. Carlos Hyde, one of the new running backs, leading rusher in the game for Houston, 6 carries for 46 yards. Meanwhile, Drew Brees on the night, he has completed 16 of 23 passes for 160 yards, also intercepted once. As a matter of fact, that interception was taken and went 94 yards for a touchdown. That's when the rushing touchdown came for Watson. Meanwhile, Michael Thomas, as usual, is Brees' favorite receiver, 4 catches for 75 yards. Right before the half, Will Lutz missed a 56-yard field goal for the Saints. Earlier, hit a 32-yarder. We are at halftime right now at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and we see it is the New Orleans Saints trailing the Houston Texans 14-3. Back to you, David and Carla.
That's Scott Harrison at the big game in New Orleans. Okay, it feels like a big game for the Texans for a number of reasons. They had a bit of a rocky offseason, right? They did pick up Larry Metunsil. They're delighted to slide him in at left tackle. It's a big moment for them. Yeah, Kenny Stills, not to be lost. Fair point. Bill O'Brien, general manager, head coach, offensive coordinator today. He's calling the plays. I think the Texans fans need to see something from the Texans tonight. I think an upset win in New Orleans would be just what the doctor ordered for this team. It's interesting. The AFC South is not what it was just a few weeks ago. Think about it.
It changes daily.
Andrew Luck is out. Nick Foles now injured. The best quarterback in the division, without a doubt, is Deshaun Watson. And with Foles injured, the Jaguars are going to take a step back. This division is the Texans to lose.
No, I agree with you. But it's really going to depend on how all the new guys fit in. Because you had Lamar Miller's season-ending ACL injury in the preseason.
Yep.
So they brought in Duke Johnson from Cleveland and Carlos Hyde from Kansas City.
Both of whom have looked good tonight.
They've looked great tonight. You've got Carlos Hyde averaging over 7 yards a carry. That is nice.
Yep.
We will take that.
Yep.
And, you know, most importantly, finally, for the first time, I would say, well, not ever, because we had Dwayne Brown, who's now with the Seahawks, but in Deshaun Watson's tenure, a legit left tackle, not only legit, but one of the top in the league in Laremy Tunsil. And I'm excited about Kenny Stills, a lot of experience at the wide receiver position that gives Hopkins and Fuller a little room, a lot to work with. I really like it.
And New Orleans, of course, playing their first game at home since the debacle against the Rams, the no call that precluded their chance to go to the Super Bowl. Saints have got to be fired up. They need to get the season opener here.
Let's be clear. They are still seething. The fan base is seething. Their coach is seething. They are still seething. They really feel like their Super Bowl was robbed from them on that no call, the most infamous no call.
Well, and of course, the year before, there was the miracle in Minnesota as well.
2 years in a row, the Saints have been burned.
Heartbroken.
Stephon Diggs.
So let's see if the Saints can rebound. Now, later tonight, it will be Denver at Oakland. We've talked all about Antonio Brown and what that means. The Denver Broncos, though, come with some new faces. Joe Flacco, of course, the new guy they've slid in at quarterback. He's a guy who's been streaky and had success for some periods of time, but then often fallen back and not played well. But Flacco, put him into that offense. He's better than what they had previously. I think my view of the Broncos is they're probably being underrated a little bit. I think they're very strong defensively when you look at Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. I think they've got a chance to play very well under Vic Fangio's defense. I think the Broncos have been overlooked a little bit.
I think they have, but, you know, they can thank Antonio Brown for flipping the line for them. I mean, they were underdogs until the Antonio Brown debacle that sent him to the Patriots, and now they are favored in Oakland. And, you know, these are heavy division rivals. These teams have a long, really brutal history with each other. I think that Denver's defense is tough, tough, tough. Vic Fangio is a defensive specialist. Their offense is not settled by any stretch of the imagination. Yep. They just brought in Brandon Allen when Drew Locke went down. When you bring in Brandon Allen and you've got Kevin Hogan on the roster, you still got questions at quarterback. So it'll depend what Joe Flacco we see. And for Oakland, just like I love Greg Townsend's take. I mean, I think their offense is coming along nicely. I'm not sure that their defense has caught up to that. So it's going to be a big night to see what's going on in Oakland.
Okay, so Flacco left the Ravens. Lamar Jackson slid in there as a starter, and he looked very impressive yesterday, albeit against the Miami Dolphins team. But really, give Lamar Jackson a lot of credit. 5 touchdown passes, that's a franchise record. And he did the thing that people wondered whether he could do. He threw the ball consistently, accurately, and downfield.
He was basically a pocket passer yesterday, which is not what people thought he would do or could do well and consistently. I mean, his rushing yards were way down to what I would have expected from him, and he did it beautifully. Credit the new offense that's in place with the Ravens.
Well, it's a funny thing because I think a lot of the league looked at him as a collegiate-type quarterback, an RG3 kind of guy, a run-first, a guy who runs a collegiate offense, keeping the ball quite a bit. But now maybe, well, you hate to base it on one performance, but maybe when you see the way he's passing the ball, it's time to compare him against his draft colleagues, guys like, well, Baker Mayfield, Sam Donald, Josh Allen. Maybe he can be considered in that mix.
I think he definitely is. And, you know, you remember he was pick number 32 in the first round. I mean, I was on my feet with my fingers crossed. I'm like, somebody take this kid, Heisman Trophy winner. Yep. I mean, come on. I have always been in his camp. What I see from Lamar Jackson, what I saw yesterday, and this is probably the biggest overreaction Monday of the entire NFL season, but here we go. It is a Monday, and we're going to overreact. But he looked to me confident. He looked precise. He was more willing to check down. And think about this. He's been going against a very tough Ravens secondary all through training camp. I mean, he's seen every single day. I think that has taught him to be more patient in the pocket. I like what I'm seeing with Lamar Jackson.
All right, another quarterback who stood out yesterday, Dak Prescott.
Yes, you got to be happy, cowboy boy.
Well, all the pieces came together. I think Kellen Moore's offense looked very impressive. And clearly, when you look at the lineup of the Cowboys, both offensively and defensively, that is a team with a lot of talent. They put all the pieces together.
How do you feel about Kellen Moore? Do you think it's too early to tell, or do you see a difference in this offense?
Well, I do think it's a little early to tell because they haven't really faced any adversity. We haven't seen him have to make significant adjustments when things aren't going well. But game one went about as well as you could have asked for. I mean, opening drive was a bit of a disappointment. But after that, what we saw from Kellen Moore was more formations, more pre-snap movement, and therefore more confusion on the part of the Giant defense.
You also see an answer at slot receiver for Dallas in Randall Cobb. What a beautiful game. That 25-yard touchdown pass that he caught was a thing of beauty. I loved watching him.
Well, and his ability to muscle through a defender to pick up a key first down on a third and long. Randall Cobb, this is nothing to take away from Cole Beasley, who was very good for the Cowboys for a long time. But Cole Beasley was much more one-dimensional. You knew what you were going to get. You were going to run that option route at about 7 to 8 yards depth. And he was effective and sure-handed, and a lot of credit to Cole Beasley. But Randall Cobb is a better fit. He gives you far more upside. He's an extraordinary slot receiver. And, of course, we know what Amari Cooper can do, and we saw what he did yesterday. The big difference yesterday was Michael Gallup.
I thought so, too.
Who really, well, last year, only about 61% of his passes thrown to him were completed passes. And some of that's on Dak, and some of that was route running. There was a lot there. They didn't have a connection. But yesterday, Gallup showed the full potential of what he is. He's a very good athlete, great speed, great hands. And to have Gallup, Cooper, and Cobb is an extraordinary trio of receivers. And you combine that with the great offensive line and the protection that Dak Prescott has, and, of course, Elliott in the backfield. They are stocked offensively.
And Elliott can thank Dak today, because the game that Dak had, 405 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He had a perfect passer rating, as he should. He took the pressure off Zeke, who is clearly not in peak form. Cabo's not getting you in peak form. I mean, he was decent, but he's not what we're used to seeing.
Right.
But and he will be. I don't really have any worries about Zeke. But what I thought was interesting, my takeaway from the Dallas game last night over the Giants, we won't get to the Giants yet, but is that Dak just got a little more expensive for you, Jerry. I mean, that was a beautiful, a perfect passer rating. It was a fantastic game.
It's a funny dynamic.
It is funny.
With the Cowboys right now. Anytime anybody does anything, it's always related to what the contract implications are, right? And Elliott signed at the last minute. I actually thought that, well, you know, last week I was saying I thought they should be very, very conservative with him. And he did get 13 carries. Obviously, they got a nice lead, and so they could temper what they did with him. And the minute Dak played that game and finished that game, everybody went right to the Joneses and basically said, okay, what does this mean for his contract?
He said it's imminent.
Sure. But coming into the game, yes, the message was that the contract is imminent. Presumably, the basic parameters and dollar values are pretty well set. So to get Elliott signed, to get Prescott signed, the Cowboys have really put together a nice young nucleus, have Lyle Collins signed. They've got their right tackle now locked in. Jalen Smith, of course, at linebacker. They really do have a lot of great young pieces all under contract now.
And do you think, Dak, I think he wants Russell Wilson type money, $35 million a year. Russell Wilson's day yesterday didn't look near as good as Dak's. Do you think Dak is worth Russell Wilson type money, and would you give it to him? Is he going to get it?
Well, so one challenge I have is we're doing a bit of a projection here. I don't think Dak's total productivity at the quarterback position, the way he's thrown the ball over the last couple of years, warrants Russell Wilson money. But we're projecting what he can become.
Right. It's based on projections.
And what was nice about yesterday is Dak Prescott completed passes that I've not seen him complete on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. So he threw some beautiful deep balls. The one to Amari Cooper was right on the money. But he also threw some deep seam routes, which require a great deal of accuracy, precision, and arm strength. And he delivered on those consistently yesterday. That's not something he did last year or the year before. So maybe this past offseason, where he's been working on his mechanics, that the fruits of that work are really coming out. Maybe he is a different quarterback. But the Cowboys are in a position where they're really going to have to sign him based on what they think he's going to become, a little more than what they've seen from him to date.
I agree. And I think, you know, his what we saw last night could be a product of the fact that he didn't have his number one offensive weapon in Ezekiel Elliott all training camp. So he was probably throwing a lot more than he normally would, because they basically had a running attack this past year. So, you know, that bodes well for him too. And, you know, I really want to credit Dak in this very contract-heavy season so far that we've had with the NFL. He doesn't talk contracts. He said, I have other people doing that. I'll talk football with you. I mean, he has stayed focused and dialed in, and I think there's another example of his leadership qualities at such a young age. I like what I see. And I really liked what I saw with the Giants defense, if you're a Cowboys fan. Oh, my goodness. They gave up TDs on 5 consecutive possessions. But fear not. If you're tired of Eli Manning, guess who gets to come in?
Daniel Jones.
And how did that work for them yesterday?
All right, we'll see. We're going to see more about the Texans and the Saints. Right now it's Texans 14, Saints 3, with 13 minutes remaining in the third quarter. We'll be right back. It's the Boston The Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
So one of the interesting matchups yesterday, of course, was the Rams and the Panthers. Rams defeating Carolina. And the post-game press conference with your man, Cam Newton. I mean, you are the gloss, and you look tremendous. Jose, does she look tremendous to you?
She always does.
She always does, but she does not outdress Cam Newton.
No one does.
I mean, she tries, but, I mean, it's awfully tough competition, right?
Jose, what was that? What, how would you describe that style? That
his attitude, his outfit?
What was that situation going on at the post-game presser?
All I can tell you is I think if you're Cam Newton, when you win, you can wear an outfit like that. But when you lose, I think you ought to wear something very commonplace. Just do something subtle and get out of the way.
Should he take like a set of sweatpants and like a hoodie just in case they lose?
That's right.
He'd pull out his Super Bowl wares. Yeah, that's exactly what he did after the Super Bowl. Yeah, I was perplexed by yesterday's outfit. But you know, hey, well, A for creativity.
I mean, I'm looking at your shoes and they're gold and glossy and they look great. But Cam Newton still beats the gloss in that wear.
Yeah, he did.
One positive for the Panthers, though, Christian McCaffrey, he is just a standout. 209 total yards by the Panther Superman.
Receiving and then averaged over 7 yards a carry. I mean, the guy is a star, should have been the Heisman winner. Give him some attention.
Yeah, he accounted for over half the Panthers' yards. But the Rams come out on top, and we will be right back. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.